Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm your host, Margo Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Ginger Burr back as my guest for Live Your Music this week. Join us for a conversation about how looking your best can help you feel and sound your best. Welcome, Ginger.
Thank you, Margo. I'm so excited to be back.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you back. I've been wanting to have you back for a long time, but it's like the universe planned this where it was exactly when we all need to hear what you have to say even more than ever. So I don't know. It's weird how everything happens in divine timing, and this really feels like it's divine timing to have you back on today of all days.
I absolutely agree. Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And I've always loved the title of your book. I love your book so much. And I love the fact that it's that's so and then you.
Well, that's what it's all about, really.
I know. Thank you. But it's so funny because, you know, when people hear image consultant, they tend to start thinking more like, I think, of business people where they have to wear a suit or they have to look a certain way or whatever. But what I love about yours is that it's so creative and it's for people in whatever they do in life. It's not just for people that are working in a corporation it's a great book and I highly recommend it.
Thank you. Thank you. It really is true that when we, no matter where we are or what we do or how old we are, any of those things, we really want to look and feel our best. It just makes us feel better. And so it's not about, yes, that's the right pair of pants and yes, that's the right top. And it's more about what makes your heart sing. And I've been in business for over 30 years and if I just went out and dressed everybody like me, I would have been bored out of my mind a long time ago. Instead, I get to really dive into who is somebody. And then how do we take that part of you that makes you special, that makes you unique, and express that in your clothing and accessories and all of those things. So when you look in the mirror, you're like, ah, that's me. That is me. And that's where the that's so you. Actually, a client came up with that, says, Ginger, that's what you do. That's so you. And I thought, that's the name. That's it.
It is. It's so true. And, yeah, I mean, it's like everybody needs to be themselves. You know, I always say be yourself, and it has a pause in there. Be your capital S self. Love yourself and live your music. But it's about you. It's not about trying to be like anybody else. And I mean, when you were saying how boring it would be if everybody was dressed like you, I mean, it's also, I've always thought and wrote about in my book too, how boring it would be if everybody was the same, did the same work, had the same same interest, liked exactly the same music.
Yeah, it would be a dull world, and we're certainly not in a dull world right now, that's for sure.
No, we are not. We are not. It's, I have never, ever experienced this much uncertainty. I know the rest of the world feels the same way, and in fact, I have a...
Sorry, I couldn't...
Oh, Siri just answered me.
Go.
She's going, I'm sorry, it's uncertain. No, but anyway, I have a laughter is the best medicine, isn't it?
It really is.
But in my Toastmasters club, I have this really inspiring man that's in our club who's become a really good friend, and he rejoined Toastmasters at the age of 92. He just had his 99th birthday on April 1st. And, you know, he was born right after that pandemic that was in, 1918, 1920, through that time.
Yeah.
So this is even the first time in his 99 years that he's had to deal with this kind of thing happening.
I'm not sure there's ever been so much global uncertainty all at the same time. I mean, just – you know, there have been times when certain countries have had issues, but the whole world is in lockdown right now.
I know. It's like, and it doesn't even seem real. It doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem real. It's just like this crazy reality that everybody's dealing with. But speaking of Toastmasters, it also ended up making us have to do our Toastmasters meetings on Zoom, which I at first was very, very resistant to because I was like, oh, no, I don't want to go through the Zoom tutorial, which ended up being kind of fun when I did it. And then now it's like we've been doing it for a few weeks, and it's actually fun. I am liking it, and we're doing it now for West Coast songwriters as well and Zooming with our son, which has been fun. And I don't know. It opens up a world of being able to see people and get to know people in a way that you couldn't any other way. Even the in-person, I love our in-person meetings for Toastmasters and West Coast Songwriters, definitely. That's the best. But this gives you a whole different perspective on people. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about Zoom and how important it is that you feel good when you're on Zoom. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's one more way where we're visible. And it's a way that we show up now in the world because we can't show up in person, and at least in a lot of places now when we do show up in person, we've got masks on. So who can even see whether you're smiling or you're growling at somebody? You can't tell any of that. So Zoom is really the way that, other than with our, you know, the people in our household, that's how we're being seen.
Right.
And so, and I know some people are doing it wildly for business. I've had friends and clients say that they are on one Zoom meeting after another, and that's their entire day. And other people are on it more for personal reasons. It doesn't really matter. It still means that that's how other people are seeing you. And here's the thing. It's how you're seeing yourself. Because when we're on Zoom, we see a picture of ourselves. As one of my clients, she said, the first time I went on Zoom and I saw, I had to keep looking at my, I mean, you don't have to, but somehow your eyes keep being drawn, particularly if it's new to you, your eyes keep being drawn to you there on the screen. She said, I was horrified. And so, you know, I was able, that and a few other people, when we first went into lockdown, people were saying, okay, everybody's doing Zoom now. And I know there are other ways of being online, but Zoom seems to be so popular. And so I immediately jumped on and did a free seminar on Zoom on how to look good on Zoom, because I knew people were struggling and some people were resisting it and some people would go on and they'd be distracted or, you know, just embarrassed, you know, lots of things were coming up for them. And so I went on and did a free seminar, which is still available. People can find it on my blog or on my YouTube channel. And it shows you how to make some tweaks to your setup and make some tweaks to how you appear yourself, your personal presence, how you appear online as well, so that you're not distracted. Because whether you're there to talk to your grandchildren or you're there to talk to a potential employer or in a business meeting or running a meeting or doing a presentation, because a lot of people who would do in-person presentations are now doing them on Zoom, you want to feel good about how you look so you can really be there to focus. You're not distracted. You can be there to focus on what the reason you're in that meeting. And that's what's part of what's so important. I mean, there are lots of things that our image does for us or makes us feel or any of those kinds of things. But now where everything is so online, we want to make sure that however you're showing up there visually, you feel good about it so that it's a non-issue.
Right, just so that you feel good about it. I mean, and one of the things that I like about it is that because it's in real time, you're seeing people's expressions. You're seeing whether they're smiling. You're seeing how they're feeling, really. And I think that when, excuse me, what we wear on Zoom is one thing, but there's also what you wear on your face, you know, whether you wear a smile or a frown, whether you, like you said, look distracted and you're not even looking at the camera, like you're not listening to the person who's speaking or connecting with them. And I don't know, I'm really thankful for all the years that I've had Toastmasters because of how that helps you learn how to communicate and make eye contact and even how to be a better listener, which is really,
well, I think there's a certain amount of professional etiquette that goes with it too, is that if you were in a meeting and you were sitting there in the front row, because basically when you're on Zoom, you're in the front row, unless, you know, there's like a massive number of people and they can't see all the people. But a lot of times we're in smaller meetings. But if you were in a meeting and you were sitting in the front row, you wouldn't be, I hope, on your phone. You wouldn't be, you know, eating your lunch. You wouldn't be, that you wouldn't be doing those things. You would be paying attention. Whether you were bored or you weren't, you would be paying attention and giving the person your, you know, your physical attention that way. And I think when people get on Zoom, sometimes they forget that they can be seen, and it can be very disconcerting to someone who is leading a presentation, particularly if they're newer at it, and people are, you know, half in the screen and half not, or they're talking to their dog or, you know, whatever might be going on. We really need to be aware of how we are interacting with the other people in the group, because I think it is a sense of being just, what's the word? Kind. And
kind, definitely. One of my favorite words, kind.
Yes, me too. Absolutely. Yes. Mm. Yes.
We need more of that in the world. And that's the one good thing that I have seen happening, at least in my sphere of influence, which is, you know, on Facebook, Instagram, and a little bit here in person in the store, you know, going to the grocery store or whatever. But it just seems like people are being kind more than they maybe would be before. And one of the things that has really been interesting is this whole thing with essential businesses and the ones that we're able to go and see, whether it's the grocery store or the people that are working in the hospital. Now, all of a sudden, it's brought up the fact that hairstylists and hair colorists are what we consider essential, even though we can't go see them because it's too up close and personal right now. And so, you know, I think you had said something about, you also have something for people about hair color.
Yes. Well, you know, again, one of the things that people were saying to me, you know, given what I do for a living, is like, what am I going to do about my hair? You know, I just found out we're going to be in lockdown for 3 weeks or four at the time. It was that. Now it's been, what, six or something. And they said, I'm due for a color and I can't get it. And so what I did was I contacted my hairstylist and I said, would you hop on Facebook Live with me? So we did a Facebook Live that was, I mean, it was blowing up the chat box with people asking questions about, what do I do if I can't get a haircut? And this was obviously more important for people with shorter hair. Longer hair, they just want to grow a little more. Or, you know, what do I do if I can't get a color? And so I have a fabulous stylist, and she was giving great, great suggestions. And again, this is also on my YouTube channel. It's free, so people can go and watch it. And she gives tons of suggestions for ways that you can get through this without feeling like you need to, you know, put a hat on all the time. Oh, that is one option for sure. But, you know, a lot of our, you know, here we are showing up in on Zoom and what's being seen is our head. And so for those of us who are not letting our hair go gray, if we're even at that age where our hair goes gray, is going gray, you know, we want to feel confident rather than feel embarrassed about our hair. And I know everybody's in the same boat right now, but you know, I remember one time years ago, I saw this weather forecaster, weather person on TV say, you know, if you're having a bad hair day, nothing else matters. And tomorrow's going to be a bad hair day because it's going to be rainy and drizzly and all kinds of horrible stuff. And all I could think of is, you know what, that's so true. Our hair is right there on our head. And so if we've got a big, giant gray streak or, you know, our bangs are down to, you know, below our nose or whatever's happening and we're feeling kind of icky, then it's the goal is now to know, first of all, that everybody's in the same boat and also to just have some fun with it. And so Lindsay was able to give some fabulous suggestions. So I really encourage people to go in and watch this video on my YouTube channel.
Now, your YouTube channel, is that just under Ginger Burr, B-U-R-R?
Yeah, if they look up Ginger Burr, I have it there as Ginger Burr T-I-C, which stands for Total Image Consultants, which is my business name.
Oh, okay.
And so they should be able to find me. And if anybody can't find me, just let me know. Can't find it, let me know. I'll be happy to send them the link.
Right, and they can contact you through your website, totalimageconsultants.com, correct?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, there's something that not too many people know about me that I've been feeling a lot better about lately is I used to be one of the top hair colorists and cutters in San Francisco back in the early 80s. And, you know, I didn't want to talk about it for a long time because it wasn't what I had been doing. I'd been working with my husband in his graphic design business. So it just didn't fit in with that, and it didn't fit in with the other things I was doing. But I'm realizing now, more than ever, how much I was able to help people feel good, because I knew, firsthand, how bad it feels when somebody messes up your color or your cut, and especially if they mess up both.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Oh, God. Yeah,
we're very attached to our hair, literally and figuratively. We are attached to how it looks. And,
but I've been,
because it helps to define us a little bit. You know, we all have personal preferences and how we like. I've seen women who have come to me and say, look what my bangs are doing in this, you know, headshot I just had done. I hate them. And I'm thinking, oh, they look kind of pretty, but she hates them. So, you know, okay, let's fix it. So, you know, it's a very personal. And getting dressed in general and how we present ourselves visually is very personal, and that's head to toe, and that starts with your hair.
Right. Yeah, my heart just goes out to all the people that, need haircuts desperately, need hair color desperately. Even one of my friends has been having to wear hats on Zoom because she's got this gorgeous red hair that the stylist does an absolute amazing job on, but she's got about 2 inches of gray, solid gray regrowth right now. And I know for a fact that trying to mess with it yourself is that's definitely dangerous. So I'm glad that you have something that could help them, because I remember one thing that was one of the hardest was trying to do corrective color when people mess it up.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that can take forever. And like with someone like her that has hair that's really long, it could take her years to grow it back out. If she decides to go all gray, it's going to be a real commitment to just do that too. So
exactly. And that's one of the things that Lindsay was saying in our interview was, unless you really, really, really know what you're doing, which you probably don't if you've been going to a hair colorist, do not color your own hair, because you can, particularly if you make it too dark, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
It's going to be, it's really hard to fix that afterwards. And then you'll spend, you know, months and months and months trying to get it back to where it was. You're better off doing some of these quick fixes until you can get back to your stylist. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the hairstylists, like all the rest of us, are small business owners. And so they're anxious to get back to work. So as soon as, you know, the ban is lifted, I'm sure they'll be back and quickly coloring and cutting as many hairs as they can. But we just have to get through this time now and still feel, you know, like have some semblance of ourselves so that we don't get totally lost in, you know, streaks down the middle of our head or hair that's shaggy or whatever it might be. And we also, you know, you and I were talking about this before we came on, but we have to have a sense of humor to a certain extent, too.
Right.
So, you know, if your hair isn't perfect right now, do something a little wild and crazy with it and see what happens. We have to have a sense of humor or we'll all go crazy.
Right. My grandmother always said that, you know, you just have to laugh about it. You know, you have to find what's funny about things. And one of that reminds me of this one woman that I know that has been putting these crazy wigs on in her Instagram and Facebook pictures.
Mm-hmm.
She had
a
long black one that with bangs that looked like Cher today.
Yes, I think that's so fun. It's so fun.
Yeah.
You know, have a good time with it and try not to, I mean, believe me, I can tend to be a very serious person and I'm a perfectionist, which I fight against all the time. And
yeah.
I am really trying to, you know, okay, my hair is starting to grow out now. And I'm like, okay, let's see what we can do with this. I've been cutting my own bangs. Don't tell anybody. But, you know, I'm just trying to make it work until I get back. Is it all perfect? No. It's not.
Yeah.
But this is the other thing you and I were talking about before we got on the show here is smile. You know, smiling makes everything look and feel better.
You know, and I have one of the interesting things I've noticed with Zoom, speaking of that, is that, you know, you're right. You can see yourself. So you can look at yourself occasionally and go, oh, I've got a frown on my face, or, oh, you know, and then I notice that when I do on purpose smile, I look better to myself even, you know, because
yes,
I'm relaxed, I'm feeling happy, I'm at that point focusing on how other people are going to feel when they take a look at me, because if I'm smiling, in fact, it's my husband and I wrote a song called Smile. He wrote most of the lyrics and he wrote the music, but we haven't recorded it yet, but it's about smiling and how good it feels to smile.
Oh, my goodness. Now is the time to record that, don't you think?
Well, yeah,
it
except
would be
we can't go to the recording studio with our friend Robert Berry because can't have people in person yet. So.
Oh, then you just need to do a Facebook Live and get on there and just get it out there to people.
Yeah,
it would be
so
cool.
Yeah, we can do it on Zoom is what we can do. So we're going to have our next West Coast Songwriters event on Tuesday. It's the first Tuesdays of the month. So the Tuesday, the 5th of May, we're going to do a Zoom event and call it Songs in Progress instead of having it be a competition where we have judges like we usually do in person. So it's going to be really fun because then people can realize that they're doing songs that are in progress and just enjoy it and have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But every time we sing that song, we feel so good, and it gets people smiling. So, you know, we've done it a few times live in the West Coast Songwriters, and it's really been great. You know, the time is passing so fast, and I have so many different questions that I wanted to ask you, so I want to try and get back to that.
Sure.
The first one, though, is definitely why is how we look important in our lives? And I think we've touched on that a little bit, but I think that I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, you know, it's our identity. It's part of our identity is how we look and how we show up in the world. And our identity also changes as we get older for any of us who are, you know, beyond 50 and or 40. You know, we see that how, you know, as we age, things do change. And so what's really important is to feel like, to like how you're expressing who you are. And how we look is the visual representation of that. So it gives, when we dress in a way that really reflects how special we are and that uniqueness that we each have within us, it gives people clues to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us make a statement without even saying a word, because how we're dressed gives people those clues. It's a form of self-expression, and so that's why, you know, we even if you and I had exactly the same coloring, we're the same height, we're the same size, all of those things, because our personalities are different, we would still dress differently, and that's where self-expression comes in. And that's, I think, clothing gives us the opportunity to reach deep inside and say, how do I want to show up today?
And yeah, I do.
It's a way of being creative. It's a way of telling the world, this is who I am. And I think we're missing that. You know, I know there's it's very popular right now to wear a lot of your workout clothes, like, everywhere. Well, right now, probably everybody's in sweats and T-shirts and pajamas because we're not leaving the house. But
or yoga pants.
Even before that. Or yoga pants, yes. Workout clothes before that even were just so popular. But nearly every woman I have spoken to, or I can say every woman who has called me because she wants to work with me or learn about working with me, when she says, I'm so tired of being in workout clothes, she's bored. And the reason
right.
she's in those clothes is not because it makes her happy. It's because she doesn't know what else to do. For most people, doesn't know what else to do or how else to really show up. And this is easy and it makes her blend in. But it does not feed her heart and her soul. It is not a way to borrow your phrase. It is not a way to live your music.
Totally. Oh, my gosh, you're so right. And, you know, that just breaks my heart when I see people trying to fit in instead of doing what they're supposed to do, which is stand out in their own ways, you know, and to be able to listen to their heart and figure out what is right for them, you know, what their music is, about how they want to live their life, how they want to express themselves. And like what you said about how you can use so much of your creativity with it. That's one of the things I've always loved about clothes and makeup and hair and jewelry and scarves and shoes and all the things is, even though I end up wearing comfortable clothes most of the time, it's fun to make little accents, colors, and to wear
yeah.
colors. That's so important. Wear colors that feel right to you.
Yeah.
Another thing I did back in the 80s was studied color consulting, and they tried to tell me I was a summer and that I could never wear black again. And I am such a rebel, you know. I was like, first of all, I go out and I buy a couple things with powder blue, powder pink, and navy blue, and I felt like I was going to throw up. It just was not me. It was so conservative. And then I finally realized, okay, well, maybe black all over the place isn't the best thing for me, although I like dramatic looks. So over the years, realized that I do like black because it's got all the colors in it, and I can accent colors that look better near my face, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. What I see what you do is you help bring out who the people are and not just, oh, you're blonde, an ash blonde or a golden blonde or whatever, so you can never wear black again or you can never.
Right. Well, I'm also a realist because I know that even if black doesn't serve them, you know, I'm a realist and I know that black is out there and there's a lot of it and a lot of people still want to keep it in their wardrobe even if it might not be their best color. So what you just
right.
said is there are ways you can do it
mm-hmm.
to make it work for you. And it's really funny because in the Zoom session, one of the things I shared with people is, unless you know that black is like your most spectacular color ever,
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily recommend that being your color when you're on Zoom. You really only see yourself from the shoulders up, but it's
right.
not a color that has a lot of radiance to it and that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. So, but I'll tell you, oh my goodness, that set everybody off. In fact, afterwards, when I sent out the recording, I put a little paragraph in there about, okay, here's what I meant when we were talking about black, because they were all like up in arms about, what do you
uh-huh.
mean I can't wear black? It was so funny because black is everywhere. And most people have it in their wardrobe and want to keep at least some of it in there. So
right.
it's about being very strategic. If it's not your absolute best color, it's about being very strategic in how you bring it into your wardrobe so that it doesn't overpower you or doesn't make you look haggard or doesn't make you look harsh. You know, there's all kinds of things that black can do if it's not your best color.
Right.
But there also are ways of bringing it in, even if it's not your best, that can serve you and still look really beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, the next question, though, is the inner journey as important as the outer? And I believe it is. So I want to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I believe the first thing that I do with any client I work with one-on-one is we do what I call an inner beauty consultation. Because I believe it's absolutely the foundation of how you create a wardrobe. Because it's what we've been talking, you and I have been talking about. It's who are you? You can't dress yourself in a way that's satisfying and exciting to you if you don't know who you're dressing. And that's what gets a lot of women stuck, is particularly if you know, the world of fashion is not necessarily where they really want to be spending their time, or it feels very foreign to them. It can, you know, they'll find themselves like, oh, that looked really nice on her. Okay, I'll try that on. Or, oh, there's the mannequin. Oh, just give me everything that's on the mannequin. And then they put it on and they think, well, how come this doesn't look right on me or feel right to me? It's because it's not representing who they are on the inside. So looking at who you are on the inside is the very, 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 very first step. It has to, your wardrobe has to be built from the inside out in order for you to feel really good. But one of the things that gets in the way for women, and I just want to bring this up because it's like, you know, the elephant in the room, is body image. And a lot of us, some body image issues. I talk in my book about my legs and how for years that really affected how and influenced how I dressed myself. And not in a good way. It kept me very stuck. And so, you know, women, as we get older, I have a lot of, oh, I'll never show my arms, or I now have a tummy and I didn't have a tummy before. And so I'm just going to dress in these big, giant, oversized things and hope nobody notices. And none of that is making you feel good. Or we've gotten messages from when we were growing up that were hurtful. You know, there's one, I still remember this one story a client told me. She said, it's just a simple, simple thing that has affected her for decades. And that is, her father once said to her, smile, you're prettier when you smile. So she didn't hear, I have a pretty smile. She heard, I'm ugly when I don't smile. So granted, that's not her clothing, but that hugely influenced how she felt about how she looked, and mostly she just wanted to blend into the background. She didn't want to stand out even a little because she felt that she wasn't pretty enough unless she was constantly smiling to do that. And that stuck with, and some of us might think, well, that's a little thing, but not to her. It was huge. It was, the impact was huge.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I remember from working at Santos's salon back in the early 80s is that, you know, people would come in and they would tell me what they thought was wrong with them. And I hadn't even noticed whatever it was until they noticed, pointed it out. And then, like, one woman thought her ears were too big, another woman thought her nose was too big, I mean, et cetera, you know, that sort of thing. But I was just looking at them as the overall person. And you're right, their smile, and people, when they're animated, such a difference. Sonia Choquette's always said our spirit loves to move, and it's true. It's our ego that wants to hold still.
Right.
Wants to get out there and move.
Yes. Yes. So, and a lot of us have, you know, had that part of us beaten down a little bit. So it's taking back your power so that you feel empowered again on your own to really look at who you are. And you know, I once had a woman come to me when we were, before we actually started working together, we did end up working together, but before we did, and I was telling her about the inner beauty part, she was saying, but what if you don't have inner beauty? And I'll tell you, it broke my heart. And I said, well, what makes you think that? And she said, well, you know, I'm not perky, and I'm not cheerful, and I'm not, and she listed all these very vibrant ways of being. And I said, well, maybe you're intense, or maybe you're edgy, or maybe you're a little wry. You know, there's all kinds of things, passionate or dynamic. There's all kinds of things that you can be that are more intense or quieter or whatever, gentler, whatever the word might be. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be perky and sassy and, you know, luminous. And, you know, you don't have to be those things in order to have inner beauty. Inner beauty is just who you are in a positive way, because as women, we sometimes have this tendency to go to the negative. But the positive parts of who you are, the parts that you, if you overheard someone talking about you, you would want to hear them say those words about you. And those are the parts that need to be expressed. those parts that make you go, yes, that's so me.
Yeah, that's so you and that's so me.
Yeah,
I
that's
love
so
it.
You, yeah. Exactly.
That's so you. Oh, gosh. Okay, so now I think the next thing, how long does it take to create a personal style that you love?
Oh, my goodness. I always love this question. You know, we live in a world where we expect results like immediately. We expect instant gratification. And putting together a personal style that you love, and I know people don't like to hear this, but it's an ongoing journey.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on through our entire lives. But you can either spend all of that time kind of grasping at straws and like, oh, well, I'll try this because the other thing I was trying didn't work, or, oh, well, maybe if I did that. What you need to have a strategic way and some tools that will serve you in making choices. And when you have those tools, things like, do you know who you're dressing? Do you know what colors look amazing on you? Do you know what clothes, what true good fit is for you? Those are just
mm-hmm.
a few of the tools. When you know those things, you can deal with things like, oop, I'm 20 years older than I was, or, oh, now I've got bigger thighs than I used to have, or, you know, I'm curvier and I used to have a straight body, or, you know, I've shrunk 3 inches, or whatever it might be. You can
that's a lot of
deal with those things. Right, yes, as a lot of people are, it does happen. Or, you know what, here's the thing.
Hmm.
Even if we don't change a lot, the fashion world changes. And so we have to be able to navigate what they're showing us now for clothes is not what they were showing us even 5 or 10 or certainly not 20 or 30 years ago, although, you know, the 70s, they keep bringing those back again, but
mm-hmm.
in a different way. And so we need to be able to navigate all of that, because your personal style is continually changing because we change. The world changes.
Right.
And we need to be able to change with it. And if you have to keep reinventing yourself all the time, it'll make you crazy and exhausted. So when you have the tools that can serve you for your entire life of building a wardrobe, it becomes kind of fun, or at least productive and successful.
I love that. I love that. I totally love it. One of the questions that I have down is, what is the biggest missing component in many women's wardrobes? I'm curious what you have to say about that.
Well, I think you're not going to be surprised to hear what we've been talking about. So many women come to me feeling lost because
mm-hmm.
they're bored. They're bored because their clothes are, you know, women will say, I put on the same pair of black pants and colored sweater every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't express who I am or how I want to be in the world. So really the biggest missing component is ourselves. So
wow.
It's exactly what we've been talking about. Exactly. And that's what keeps a lot of women stuck. It's not necessarily what shoes look good with this outfit, although that's an issue, but it's not the biggest thing. It's not the
mm-hmm.
biggest thing. Or how do I accessorize? Or what top goes with what pairs of pants. Those are all really easy things to learn, but they're also influenced by who you are. So I've seen women put on, you know, or I've helped clients put on a certain style of pants and top that look amazing on them, but that would look ridiculous on me because it's not who I am. Their inner beauty words are completely different from mine. So it's really often we're the missing component. And until you dive in and figure out who you are, that it'll make it harder to get dressed with any consistency in a way that makes you feel really good every day.
Mm. Wow. You know, listening to you talk about this, I want to totally reread your book from cover to cover. It's been so long since I read it. But, you know, I think that the really cool thing about it is that it's timeless, what you're writing about in there, because it is about expressing who you are and what feels right for you. It's not something where it's going to go out of style. The book itself is not going to go out of style
exactly.
because it's timeless, and And I think to me, really, true beauty is timeless. It's not just fads and what the latest thing is. And I think that brings us to the idea of less is more. So many women are wanting smaller wardrobes. And what do you say about that?
Oh, I hear this all the time now. Women wanting to, not necessarily even because they're downsizing their home or anything. It's more that they want to simplify. They want getting dressed just to be easier. And they don't want to have to filter through, you know, 30 things to find two things that will actually go together. And so, again, if people go to my YouTube channel, they'll see a video there where I show how to take 10 or 11 pieces and make well over 20 to 25 outfits with it. And that's what I'm finding a lot of women want to be able to do. They want a little capsule of things. Now, the thing I'm very clear with people about is chances are really good. You're not going to have just one capsule of clothes that will serve every part of your life. So if you're working, you may have a capsule for that. If you love to travel a lot, either for work or for vacation, you may have a capsule for that. But what has happened with a lot of women is that they have accumulated a ton of clothing, and yet they only wear a very small percentage of it because they've been searching for those pieces that will be fabulous. And again, without a strategy, a lot of times, even if they buy an individual piece that they like, if they don't know how to integrate it into their wardrobe, it'll just sit there and it'll never get worn. And so women are done with that. They're like, I'm really tired of having all these things that I've spent money on that take up space in my closet, and I'm not wearing them. And so I want
money
clothes
too,
that I'll wear. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, it's a waste of money, too, to keep buying
huge
things.
Huge waste of money.
Oh, nope, that wasn't it. Nope, that wasn't it.
Right. Exactly.
You know, we only have 3 minutes left. Can you believe it?
Oh, my goodness. No, it's so fun talking with you.
Oh, I always have fun talking with you as well. You have so much to share with all of us. And I want to, what is it that you feel is living your music? Is it working with the people on how they look?
You know, as I've mentioned, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I get as excited about it now as I did 30-something years ago. And the whole reason that I got into this business is because, well, first of all, I learned I had an affinity for it once because I struggled. I struggled a lot with my wardrobe and how to dress because I didn't know what I was doing. Once I learned what I needed to learn, I realized that other women were also struggling. And so for me to be able to see the impact of the work that I do with my clients and to see them blossom and to see them, you know, pack for a trip in a half an hour instead of, you know, 3 days. And, you know, just feel good when they step into the world, whether they're running to the grocery store or they're going to, you know, do a presentation. It makes me really, really happy. And so it's really my passion. I work a lot because I love what I do. And for me, it's fun. And it feels like a calling in my life. Aww. And so I feel very blessed to get to do what I do. And I have amazing clients. And I have a lot of fun in my work. And I love seeing women just come into their own. And that's what this is all about.
Oh, that is fantastic. Ginger, thank you so much for just being you.
thank you, Margo. You
too.
Oh,
my gosh, thank you. thank you. And, oh, my gosh, thank you for your book, That's So You. Thank you for all of the things that you said on the show today, and I hope people will go to your website, totalimageconsultants.com, to find out more about you and also get your book and check out those YouTube videos as well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure, always.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you're living your music. Thank you for doing that. everyone out there, share this show with your friends and your family, because everybody needs, and men too, need to look, feel good about how they look and dress to express who they are. Oh, bye for now, Ginger. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Remember, live your music. Bye.